And this is the Jefferson Exchange. We turn now from farm products and their merchandising to farmland. There's constant pressure in much of the country to turn it into something else, like building houses for the ever-increasing population. American Farmland Trust keeps an eye on that process. AFT is out with a report showing farmland declines over recent years. It's called Farms Under Threat, The State of the States. And it arrives just before a report from Thousand Friends of Oregon, a land use watchdog group. That report is called Death by 1,000 Cuts, The Erosion of Oregon's Exclusive Farm Use Zone. Oregon's strict land use laws are supposed to keep land good for farming in farming. Two guests from each of the organizations. Addie Candib is the Pacific Northwest Regional Director of the American Farmland Trust. Welcome back, Addie.
Thanks, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Good to have you. Greg Holmes is with us as well, Food Systems Program Director and Southern Oregon Advocate for 1,000 Friends of Oregon. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you.
Sure. Addie, start us off. AFT has reported on the land situation before. How does this report differ from some previous ones?
This report gives us the most up-to-date look at what's happening with farmland nationwide, number one. And number two, we're able to do a couple of other things. In addition to mapping the quantity of farmland loss, we have been able to map the quality of the farmland that's been impacted. And we have looked at farmland that we're calling nationally significant farmland, or farmland that is best suited for growing food. Of the land that was lost, the U.S. had lost about 11 million acres of farmland between 2001 and 2016. And of that, about 4.4 million acres was this farmland that is best suited for growing food. The other way that this is different is, in addition to mapping farmland conversion to urban development, we've looked at a new kind of land use called low-density residential, or LDR, which refers to what happens when the housing density in an area gets to a point where agriculture is no longer viable. And this is really where Greg's report is going to tell us a lot more about what's happening in Oregon.
All right, let's pick it up there. So, Greg, Oregon is supposed to be different, not letting good farmland go to other uses. What is happening in the state?
Well, yeah, Oregon does have a statewide land use program that is designed in part to protect farmland, and it does a really pretty good job of making us look carefully at when we're urbanizing farmland. Farmland is the last priority for expanding cities, and if it can be used, and it is used, and we are losing farmland to that use, but it's a very deliberate and balanced process. Where Oregon's system might need a little bit of boosting up is this other category that Addie just mentioned, and it's not just, the name sort of implies it's just rural residential uses, and it's not just that. There are more than 60 uses allowed on land that we have zoned exclusive farm use in the state of Oregon, which is the land that we protect for farming. And some of those uses, like farm stands and whatnot, are directly related to farms, but some of them clearly are not, like destination resorts and non-farm dwellings and fireworks stands and model aircraft facilities and that sort of thing. And then there's another category that's sort of nebulous. It could be related, but often it's not. And those are things like home occupations and something called commercial activity in conjunction with a farm use. And those activities together all impact not only the land that they're sitting on, but often impact the ability of neighbors to continue their farming operations.
Zero in on the issue here, then the zoning itself has not changed. They are still EFU, exclusive farm use, but things that are not always necessarily agricultural types of uses are being allowed on those lands.
That's correct. So we're losing some to rezoning to urban uses. We're losing a little bit to rezoning to other rural uses, but we're losing a large part that still remains EFU zoned, but other uses are being permitted on it. And that's what our report is really looking at, is those uses, the impacts they have, and hopefully looking at some policy changes to slow that down.
I got an advanced copy of that report. Is it available to the public yet?
It will be today. Okay. And I'll send you all a link, and it'll be on our website today.
Okay, and that report is called Death by 1,000 Cuts, the Erosion of Oregon's Exclusive Farm Use Zone. That is from 1,000 Friends of Oregon, where Greg Holmes is Food Systems Program Director and Southern Oregon Advocate. Addie Candib is with us as well from the American Farmland Trust, where she's the Pacific Northwest Regional Director. Its new report is called Farms Under Threat, the State of the States. What we're talking about is farmland turning into things other than technically totally farmland. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Addie, is Oregon held up as something of a model for other states?
Well, Oregon is, in fact, doing a lot better than many states nationwide. When we look at what's happening across the country, what we did is we mapped the threat to farmland, the threat to, by development and conversion, and we held that side by side with individual states' policy response to those threats. And we see some of the greatest areas of concern in places like the southeast of the United States. So in comparison, Oregon's doing really well. We have only lost 65,000 acres of farmland in Oregon. In comparison, places like Texas have lost over 1 million acres of farmland. So Oregon's doing really well in that department. And on the policy side, Oregon is a leader nationwide. Greg referenced the land use planning program. And indeed, our report looked at that land use program as a model that other states could follow. That said, more can be done and should be done. Our report looked specifically at six policy types that have been effective in slowing farmland loss. Oregon's using four of those. So there's room to grow and there's room to improve. And one thing I want to call out is that we evaluated each state, but no state received a perfect score. So every state has the capacity to do more. And one of the things we know is that farmland loss is spurred not just by development pressure and population increase, but it's also caused by weakening ag viability, the difficulty that farms have in surviving financially. And it's also caused by the transfer of land to the next generation. What happens when a farmer retires and tries to pass on their farm to someone new? So we know that states really need to come up with policies that address not just the development pressure, but also ag viability and that transfer of land to the next generation.
The viability thing, I imagine, looms large. Greg Holmes, when you talk to farmers who might resist the idea of you know, keeping some of the activities you're citing in your report off the farms, I mean, they're probably telling you that they need this to be able to make money.
Some things that are related to farming are definitely appropriate for a farm, but farms are very much like our urban areas. You know, in a residential neighborhood, somebody might have a great idea for some business that they have, but you don't locate it there. You locate it somewhere else. So, for instance, there are some of these uses that are permitted through things that could or could possibly are not farm-related. Some of them morph into things like full-service restaurants that have little or no connection to the farm that they're sitting on, or bed and breakfasts or that sort of thing that aren't related to the farm at all, where maybe those could be located somewhere else. That, as Addie said, that there's lots of impacts that these uses have, not just on the land that they're located on, but on the neighbors. For instance, non-farming neighbors complain sometimes about noise and dust. If you have an event happening out there, you can't, you know, the farmers get yelled at if they try to spray for smells, that sort of thing. Land fragmentation, if you start speckling these other uses out amongst the farms, it creates conflicts and people can't consolidate parcels to build their farming operations. You start losing critical mass of some of the infrastructure like feed stores and equipment stores and packing houses. And we've seen that happen here in the Rogue Valley. I mean, we don't have tractor stores anymore. Packing houses have closed down. We don't have meat processing here. It also very much relevant to Addie's point about transfer, it causes land speculation. When all these other uses are permitted, the people start buying farmland for some of those uses, and it drives up the price of farmland, which makes it much more difficult for the next generation to come in and acquire land at a price that they can then afford to farm.
So let's talk about some of the potential solutions here, Eddie Candib. Purchase of agricultural conservation easement programs is one of the avenues, the policy avenues you seek through the American Farmland Trust?
Absolutely. And Oregon does have a program, the Oregon Agricultural Heritage Program, which has been created in the last couple of years to make that possible on a state level. But I think, and as Greg can speak to as well, there's a need to infuse that program with significantly more funding to enable the purchase of those easements on a widespread scale in order to be effective at combating the loss of farmland to development and other uses.
We have an email here from John in Eugene who writes, I am reminded of the city of Springfield's attempt to create an urban area near Mount Pisgah. It's important to note that this was done to support industrial needs, not housing. The proposal was ultimately defeated for now, but it took a remarkable level of community organization to prevail against industry-hired, high-powered attorneys. For everyday citizens, the process was long, technical, and obtuse. Could your guests comment on the role of neighbors and the public in such efforts in Oregon? Greg Holmes, want to pick that one up?
I want to say it's absolutely critical for neighbors and citizens to be involved. And the Oregon system is based on 19 goals. The first goal, goal one, is community involvement. And it's explicitly designed on the premise that residents have the right to participate in the land use decisions that affect how their communities develop. So it is sometimes a complicated process. Organizations like mine, part of my job is to help people understand the process and how to participate in it. There are other groups here in the Rogue Valley, including like Rogue Advocates, who they have a similar role. They help people participate, and they directly get involved, as we do in some processes. But we couldn't do what we do without community being involved and helping sway local decision makers to make the right decisions. There's just no way to do it.
We are talking about disappearing farmland in America with Addie Candib from the American Farmland Trust, where she's the Pacific Northwest Regional Director. Greg Holmes is Food Systems Program Director and Southern Oregon Advocate for 1,000 Friends of Oregon. They both have reports out about encroachment of other uses and other spaces on farmland. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Addie, as I look at the maps provided in Farms Under Threat, and there's some very sophisticated mapping stuff going on in there, I see in particular that a lot of pressure on farmland around urban areas. You mentioned the Southeast. I noticed that particularly around Atlanta. If we preserve good farmland while urban areas continue to grow, are we going to have farm islands in the middle of otherwise urbanized areas?
That really comes down to good land use planning on the part of cities and counties and state government. And I think that's in particular one of the reasons why we've held up Oregon's land use planning program as such a strong example nationwide is because it requires really good intentional coordination between local government and state government. And we need to see more of that on a nationwide level. And I wanted to call out that I think looking at the farmland that is close to the cities, it's important that we maintain some of that. And the crises like the COVID-19 pandemic have really emphasized how dependent we are on resilient, localized food systems. So we need a resilient and robust base of farmland close to our urban centers so that in severe shocks like the one we're experiencing right now as a country, we're able to rely on a robust local food system.
Greg Holmes, I wanted to ask about some of the terms used in the Death by 1,000 Cuts report out today. I mean, you've talked about some of these already, agritourism and other uses of farms, but shadow conversion, what is that?
that has to do with not actually like getting a rezone, but having impacts on the land that has the effect of converting the land and some of the surrounding properties, because it makes it so much harder to economically farm anymore.
Addie, do farmers come on board with you? I mean, obviously in the cases where you're able to put some land under conservation easements and things like that, they are. But I just wonder if you have a lot of farmers who would like to cash out, or they can't seem to give their farms off to the next generation, and they're more than happy to let the farmland become something else.
AFT certainly has a strong base of support from farmers nationwide. We are a membership organization and have tens of thousands of members across the country, and quite a number of those are farmers themselves. So we know that farmers tend to be supportive of preserving the farmland because they understand its value. That said, farmers do, at that time when they're needing to transition out of their farm businesses, do find themselves in situations where they don't have an heir and all of their assets are tied up in their farmland, and their best option is to sell. And you asked about the purchase of conservation easement mm-hmm. program earlier, and that's one of the reasons why those programs are so valuable, is because an easement gives us the opportunity to compensate the farmer for conserving their land. And it gives them access to some capital that they can then infuse back into their farm operation, or it can be used to reduce the price for an incoming farmer.
I haven't asked about the pace of declining farmland. Over the 15 years you cover in Farms Under Threat, 2001 to 2016, is the rate at which farmland is disappearing accelerating, holding about steady, or is it declining somewhat?
I'm not sure that I can speak to that specifically, but I think the most important thing to see is that we are still losing farmland, and that it's not just being lost to the urban development, but that it's being lost to these other kinds of uses that Greg has talked about. And in Oregon, specifically, over half of the farmland loss was lost to that low-density residential. So we know that that's really an issue, and that where the land use planning program has been really effective in combating the loss of farmland to urban development, it's been much less effective in slowing the loss toward other uses.
Okay, the report from the American Farmland Trust, where Addie Candib is from, is called Farms Under Threat. 1,000 Friends of Oregon's report is called Death by 1,000 Cuts. That's where Greg Holm comes from. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.